It's 88.5 FM. Jeff Penfield joined live in studio by KT Tunstall. New album is called Wax, and she's going to be playing tonight at the El Rey Theater. Very excited for that. Thank you so much for taking a little time out before your show tonight.
Total pleasure. It's nice to know my voice is working at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, that's a plus. You got the we got the throat comfort tea going, which
you
is
know,
always a plus.
You guys, it's there, just laid out. It's a smorgasbord of singer heaven as soon as you come in the building.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we know it's a lot of hard work being out on the road. You've been doing that a little bit this year already. First, you were here opening for Bare Naked Ladies.
Yes, it was the first time playing the Greek Theater, which was super exciting. It was great.
And now you're back in support of Wax, which is your new album, your second in your trilogy that you're creating.
That's right.
And a little bit in terms of, the subject matter, a little deeper, a little darker, because the first one was very bright and cheerful, even like visually on the album artwork. It was like all these different colors. And then you come out with this, Wax.
Yeah, very much so. And it was a really interesting process, because you would think that if someone is going to embark on a trilogy, then you definitely have that idea before you start. And I didn't. It came to me after the first part of what is now a trilogy had come out. So Kin, my last record in 2016, was this record all about overcoming some really difficult stuff in my life. My dad had died. I got divorced. I sold everything I owned. I relocated here to LA. And there was a lot of healing to be done, you know, there's a lot of soul searching. And that album really came out from driving along Oceanside, listening to Tom Petty and Fleetwood Mac. And many of those songs are about surviving, you know, emotional difficulty. And this whole record was like this sort of phoenix from the ashes, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just was on tour with that record and sitting in a park in Nashville, in Centennial Park, trying to meditate, which had been part of my journey of self-healing. And I came to, after half an hour of having my eyes closed, and had this really strong vision that I should make a trilogy that was based on soul, body, and mind, and that Kin was actually the first part of that already.
And Kin was soul then?
Kin was soul. So Wax is the body record. There's this amazing Kurt Vonnegut quote from a book called Bluebeard, and it says, "My soul knows my meat is doing bad things and is embarrassed, but my meat keeps on doing stupid, dumb things." And it's just perfect. It's this kind of completely, like, you know, absurd situation that we're this amazing, conscious, transcendent soul driving through life in a meat car.
Find out the river, find out.
I think the first inclination for anyone hearing Wax with Music is thinking, you know, like a, you know, the old school albums or something like that. But that's not in this case. This
well,
is where's
it's
Wax come from?
It's that too, actually. It's the word is so evocative of so many things, but really over everything else, it's just a very visceral substance that is completely connected to being organic and being made by living things. Mm-hmm. And but yes, it's Wax Cylinders. The first LPs were recorded on them. Hives, bees, candlelight. But one of the reasons I wanted to call the album Wax, first of all, was that each of the three records will have a three-letter title. but I'd read this great book called Secrecy by a British author called Rupert Thompson. And it was about I just picked it up in an airport. I liked the look of it. And it was one of those magical books that you just happen to chance upon. And it was about a 16th century Italian wax sculptor in Florence, and at that time, which is, it's a fictional story, but it was true at that time that it was illegal to make full-size wax sculptures of people because it felt to the clergy that it was sacrilegious because they were so lifelike that people were playing God by making people. And so wax is this substance which we still use in, you know, Madame Tussauds in London to make the most lifelike replicas of human beings. It's got this glow to it. And then the weirdest part, of course, is that it comes out of your ears as well.
Oh, yes. That's always The River was the first song that you released. And that one, you know, I started listening to the record and started digging into it. And it almost seemed to take on a different life. It seemed like it had a different feeling for me when I first heard it, but when I heard it within the context of the record, it almost seemed a little different.
How?
I don't know. Maybe I just didn't dig. I'm weird because I don't dig into lyrics that well. Like that, that's not something that suddenly comes to me. So it's, you know, it's a little
I always get more empowering when I sit and read them with the artwork.
It's an empowering, you know, it feels like there's a lot of empowering and a lot of positivity in it. But then when you dig into it and I start hearing some of the things you were talking about, oh, there's a little darker side to this and a little more going on with what the song is about.
The song is definitely about feeling very saturated in toxicity, whether that's political, emotional, on a personal level in a relationship, or what I like to call the doom scroll when you're on your phone. It's just even just daily kind of input that comes your way that's beyond your control. You know, advertising. Advertisers can't sell anything unless they make you feel unhappy, because you need to want something to make you feel good. So it's this kind of constant barrage of often negative stuff towards you. And I just loved that feeling as a kid when you would jump off a high cliff into the water and that's all you thought about was being in the water. So kind of emancipation through nature, really, of getting away from all the BS that we have to deal with on a daily basis.
Touch.
speaking of Nick McCarthy, I think that sounds like a pretty good choice with how Franz Ferdinand usually sounds.
Yeah, I think so. And he, you know, he was such an important part of that band because he was the one who had the German upbringing, so brought that krautrock influence. And I'm sure the other guys were into it, but Nick had grown up with it in Germany, and as the guitarist in the band had kind of brought that very, very angular sensibility to what they were doing. And, you know, it was defining sound of the 2000s when they were bringing out their music.
Absolutely. And another,
he's an amazing writer.
Yeah,
I didn't really understand him as a writer when I asked if he'd produce the record, and we had a week of pre-production booked in, and you usually kind of listen to demos and check out references of tunes you like and try out some recording. We didn't do that at all. We just sat and wrote songs, and so we wrote four songs for the record: Human Being, The Night That Bowie Died, The Mountain, and Tiny Love were the songs. We were all really up there favorite songs for me on the album.
Yeah, The Night That Bowie Died. I mean, that's a subject that we all remember that day and what happened. And
it's one of those, isn't it? The last time I remember that kind of hive mentality grief that sweeps the world was when Princess Diana was killed. And it was really extraordinary. It was like an event, like a global event. And it caused this sort of, I remember seeing an episode of House MD when like someone gets sick on an airplane and there's a name for it, there's a medical name for it, when it's a psychosis that happens, everybody kind of, it's incredibly infectious that everybody starts feeling the same way. But I think that Bowie was just such a important part of so many people's lives that we hadn't really considered what it would be like if he wasn't there anymore. Yeah. And it was a real shock. Yeah. When he went. So Nick had written these chords the night before he'd passed away. And when he came into the studio the next day, he renamed the chords in this folder the night that Bowie died, just to remind him of when they were from. And he said, oh, I have these chords. We should maybe write something around them. And he said, we can call it something different. I said, no, that's an amazing song title. We should work with it.
Just a human being.
Well, tonight, Katie Tunstall, we're presenting her at the El Rey Theater. Going to be a good show for you now, your new hometown show.
Well. I know, right? It's so weird to think of it. I know, growing up, to say good evening, L.A., and for that to be my hometown show is pretty wild.
But, and you get to sleep in your own bed tonight, which is
well,
nice.
Actually,
no?
I wish.
Or do you have to go? You gotta
straight
get rolling.
To Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, okay, never
I'll
mind.
Wave at my house,
you're like,
as we leave.
But a great show coming up tonight, playing some new songs off your album Wax.
And thank you for the support. It's so great knowing that the music is out there on the radio waves. It's still very exciting as an artist to have stuff played on the radio, and it's I don't know, something so old school and great about it. I'll never get tired of it.
It's, you know, we talk about it in radio. It's a one-way conversation where we're spreading it out, but it's all these different people in their own little lives and how it can affect them.
Yeah,
and it's incredible
very cool.
to think about.
Yeah.
But yeah, Katie Tunstall, thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, guys.
It's 88.5 FM.